guys. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Less Panic, More Peace. I want to highlight the immense support and love I've been getting recently on the previous episodes. And if you guys have any questions of any sort, please DM me. My DMs are always open on Instagram at RiaMiglani10. Today's episode is going to be super, super fun and interesting. Today's guest is an attorney. She's a mother to a child with food allergies and has an amazing food-related Instagram account, which has over 12,000 followers. We're going to speak about stories of eating eggs and lips turning blue and going to the ER. We're going to talk about advice for moving from a state of panic to a state of peace, how to tell if a younger child is having an allergic reaction if they don't even know how to speak up, and ways to deal with that, traveling, coping, and stories that might change the way you look at food allergies forever. Introducing Food Allergy Diva. How are you doing today?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Great, thank you. So can you tell the audience a little bit about who you are and what you do?
Sure. I'm a food allergy mom of two little ones. And when my son was about 6 months old, we were told we needed to start supplementing him with formula due to his weight. So I brought one of those 2-ounce little bottles of formula home to give him. And while he was still attached to the bottle, I saw some type of reaction starting on his face. I told my husband we need to immediately stop. He's having some sort of allergic reaction. And looking back, it's kind of crazy to even think that because we had no experience dealing with food allergies, nothing that I would have known, but I guess it's what you call mom's intuition. And the next day, our pediatrician sent our son to an allergist, and we soon discovered that our son had anaphylactic food allergies to 4 of the top 8 allergens, 5 of the top 11. And the first thing we were told was to avoid eating all these foods at all costs. We were given an EpiPen, shoved out the door, said, come back when he's 4 years old and see if anything's changed. So for me, I knew there had to be a lot more to my son's story than that. And I researched everything I could about food allergies and realized that there might be some hope in that realm of possibility, especially with a child so young. So armed with that knowledge, we challenged at that time 15 foods before he was 12 months old. And since then, probably another 5 to 10 foods, and have quite a substantial now amount of knowledge about what he is and isn't allergic to hopefully kind of create some tolerance to the foods we are avoiding and help him live more of a normal life. So that's kind of our story and how things kind of started with us.
Wow. So what kind of foods is he allergic to?
He's allergic to almonds, peanuts, some seeds, and he was allergic to dairy and egg, but he has since outgrown that, luckily. So.
Oh, awesome. So how old is he?
He is still 1. He's almost 2 now.
Oh my goodness. So young. I'm glad that you learned the allergies at a young age, though.
Yes, I think it's definitely beneficial when dealing with it, because I think the immune system's kind of still malleable when they're little. And they say between 3 and 5 that it's kind of a little less malleable. So if you can get a head start on those things, I think there's some hope.
Yeah. So I know a lot of mothers, and I've spoken to a lot of them with children with food allergies, and it's always really difficult. And also the kind of going to the allergist and going there, and there's like all this chaos. And you don't really know what you're doing, honestly. Like, do you think that anything can prepare you for being a mother who has a child with allergies?
Oh my goodness. I think maybe it helped that I had no idea what I was dealing with before I was dealing with it, because I think I would have been like fuming in the allergist office had I known going in the first place. But I think there's really nothing that can prepare you except once you figure it out, just dealing with it, because I think it's so individualized, different allergies and the way and how you get them. And
yeah. How many allergic reactions has he had? Only 1?
No, he's had multiple allergic reactions. So we actually discovered some of the allergies through allergic reactions. So we didn't want him skin prick tested for everything in the beginning, because once I read something, I'm very cautious. So I had read something that actually the more exposure they have through the skin, i.e. eczema or skin prick testing, can actually create a sensitization if they haven't already been introduced through the digestive tract. So I was really paranoid about him having skin prick testing for things that he wasn't allergic to or that we didn't know. So we learned the hard way on a lot of things. We carefully introduced a lot of them. And even still, we had some surprises. We did do blood work and things like that
to
kind of give us an idea before introducing things.
Yeah. Would you mind telling us like a big story that you kind of learned a lot from and like kind of going from the state of panic in that moment probably and what you kind of came out of that?
Yeah. So when my son, I don't even remember how many months old he was, like maybe six still. He had tried egg at home and no reaction, no problem. And he did have a positive test on the blood work for egg, but you know, there's a lot of false positives, that kind of thing. So we gave it to him 3 days in a row. He had had a whole egg, no problem. So we were like, we're in the clear. We were like, we can eat eggs. You know, we were so excited because we were concerned about it. And then the fourth day he started having an allergic reaction. So he had like two bites of an egg that fourth time. It started spreading, you know, all over his body. And we found out now he went in and we had skin prick testing and he was allergic to eggs. And that was kind of a scary situation. We were lucky we didn't have to use the EpiPen or anything like that. We ended up in urgent care, but it was kind of a learning experience for us.
My gosh, my sister, I have a younger sister, and she kind of went through the same thing, kind of learning the hard way of having an allergy with eggs. And she was like about 5 years old, I want to say at the time. And my parents fed her egg, scrambled egg, you know, it's the first time she'd ever had it, not five, probably like about two. And so she had eggs, and my mother and father saw that she started breaking out into like a rash. And, you know, 30 minutes later, her lips started to become blue. And my parents were freaking out. You know, we didn't know anything about allergies at that time. They were like so new to this kind of area of food allergies and this expertise, and they didn't know anything. So automatically kind of what you do is call, you know, the ambulance, and they took her to the ER, and everybody was so panicked at that time because we didn't know anything. Like, I had to stay home. I was so worried about my younger sister, you know, and so it was a really scary moment. But now she's 12 years old and she grew out of eggs. So, great. You know, she had to like sacrifice a lot, and, you know, it was really hard for her not to eat eggs. Yeah. There was a lot of like feeling like an outsider, not being able to eat things that other people are eating. But it was a really traumatic experience, I want to say, but we've learned a lot from that and kind of being careful. So what kind of things have you learned that you can share to other parents from that allergic reaction moment of your child?
Well, first of all, oh my gosh, that sounds really a hard situation, especially if you were, you know, being so young. I don't know how that would affect someone. But as far as what to learn from it, I think the biggest thing is just to like keep your cool. It's really hard and easier said than done. But if you don't, you end up, you know, wasting time and not focusing on the right things. And if you can't really think about what to do, the best thing to do is to call, you know, the allergist or the ambulance, you know, if you don't have an EpiPen or whatever. And if, you know, they always say Epi first, Epi fast. And so if you have that and you know it's an issue, that's what to do. But yeah, I think the hardest part is just keeping your cool, especially with a little baby who can't talk to you and tell you what's wrong.
I know, that's the hardest part. Like, my parents couldn't even ask her what is wrong. Like, do you feel itchy in your throat? Do you feel something in your stomach? Like, obviously now, like, I'm older and my sister is older, so they can say something. But not being able to speak up about your allergies is so hard.
It is. And we keep one of those little finger sensor monitors that tells us like his heart rate, his oxygen, the oximeters. We have like a baby one. So like anytime I think there's anything wrong, like we're shoving it on his finger, you know, we're always checking like oxygen levels. And
oh, that's so helpful to know. Wait, what's it called? An oximeter?
An oximeter. Yeah, I can tell you their oxygen levels. So like if he even gets hives or something now, we're just like automatically we monitor that just because he can't tell us if like there's a little bit trouble breathing starting or something like that.
Oh, okay. So you have one child with food allergies?
My daughter has EOE. So, although it's like food allergies, it's not quite the same. It's not quite the same, heightened level of fear, I guess. She can't have dairy. So we still don't have dairy in our house, but, my son has outgrown his dairy, like anaphylactic allergy.
Oh, that's so great. So how old is your daughter?
She's three.
Oh, okay. So has she dealt with any of like self-confidence with food allergies or any like bullying?
Luckily we haven't kind of hit that phase yet. We have kept her home sometimes when there's been things that would be nice for her to go do. Like if there's a pizza party or something, cause I know she'll want to eat it. And then it's like harder for me to tell her absolutely no versus, you know, something like that. But I don't think she really understands yet kind of the gravity of the situation.
Oh, yeah, that makes sense. So with two children, kind of traveling must be very hard too, kind of going into that topic of traveling. And I'm not sure if you've done any traveling, obviously.
Yeah, we have. We've done a little bit of traveling. And when we have, the hardest part is definitely food. We always pack like a cooler of everything my son has to eat and then put it on ice. We haven't done anything where we've flown. Everything's been driving. So it makes it kind of a lot easier in some ways. But I mean, traveling with two kids that are under three or three is
let alone really
anyway, because there's like screaming for hours on end. But the best thing is just, yeah, we have to make sure the food's prepared. And we also have like, we keep his own like crib that we take. We won't use one at a hotel because I'm afraid if a kid had thrown up or done something, you know, maybe they ate in there and they left crumbs. It's not like the easiest thing to clean in the world, these like mesh cribs. So we bring that for him. Anything you can think of, like we put like a sheet down over the couches in the hotel rooms. Cause like, I'm afraid it's like fabric that like somebody ate something and it's on there, and he still like puts his hands in his mouth and he picks things up. And
is he like a severity of like eating it, or is it like everything?
No, it's like he's had problems. Like, we don't know to what extent now, cause he's a little bit older. So we're hoping things, you know, have been a little better, but we had an issue even at a thing where we were, they were roasting nuts and we walked by it and he started getting like kind of like a facial rash. So, I mean, I don't necessarily think he's going to go into anaphylaxis from like touching something, but again, he puts his hands in his mouth and he takes toys off the floor. And so you can't be too careful.
Definitely. But kind of, how do you cope with all of this stress? This is like very stressful being, I mean, I can't relate to it right now, but being a mother and also having a full-time job, I'm assuming, and kind of being, you know, an attorney and dealing with all of this stuff, especially during COVID too. How do you cope with all of that? And how do you maintain peace?
In a weird way, COVID has kind of made things easier. I don't know if you know, in your household with allergies, but it kind of makes it, it's like a good excuse not to go places or not to do things. And I'm actually home, even with work, like everything's Zoom, everything's online. A lot more things have been home. So I've been able to do a lot more in that regard. So I guess it's kind of been like weirdly helpful in some ways, even though it's another, you know, horrible situation to have to deal with as a, you know, society. But like from an individual perspective, it's kind of been a little better for us. Some people also feel like they kind of maybe have a better understanding of what you deal with every day with food allergies and like cross-contamination and germs and, you know, all that kind of stuff. But for me, as far as dealing, making peace, my peace comes in like the planning. So the more research I do, the more I better understand what he has to do and that kind of thing. I feel more prepared and I feel more at peace. For some people that causes more stress, like knowing too much or, you know, having to read all these different things. But for me, that's kind of like what makes me feel better. So I, you know, when I was very stressed in the beginning, when he was first diagnosed with food allergies, I spent probably 4 hours a night, every night for 6 months, just reading scientific articles about food allergies and what possibly could be done and what we could do to help him. And that made me feel better. So,
yeah. I mean, also having a community, kind of a support system to help you throughout this whole thing. Like I've also seen a lot of like Facebook groups and all these different types of people who are dealing with them, especially through my podcast. I've got to connect with a lot of people who are dealing with it. So it's like, you're not alone in this endeavor and this kind
I have, I've had a really good opportunity on Instagram to connect with so many moms that have kids in similar situations. And through Facebook groups as well. Like we didn't know what we were dealing with my daughter in the beginning with her EOE. And I actually talked to a whole bunch of moms that had been through similar kinds of symptoms and things and had other kids maybe with food allergies. So they had a better idea and it helped us kind of understand what was going on with her and just know what to look for. I've definitely had really good experiences and it's been wonderful to have that kind of support system.
Yeah. And what, can you explain a little bit more about EOE? I just want to make sure I'm clear on it.
Yeah. So EOE is my understanding, and I'm not a doctor, but it's like inflammation of the esophagus from eating different foods. And it's the cells in the esophagus. It's kind of like asthma, but in that area. So, you know, different foods can cause either symptoms or not symptoms in some people, but it can cause chronic problems and a lot of other things like that. And so for my daughter, she, unfortunately, every time she would have dairy, it could be delayed, but there would always be vomiting and lots of problems, and that went on for years with her. And
so it's not the same as an allergy.
It's not the same thing as an anaphylactic allergy. Although I do think there are like really rare cases where it can be also. And I do know that there is like also some people who are treated for anaphylactic allergies with OIT and things like that, where they end up with EoE because of the introduction, the way the food's introduced. Because I guess the EoE can cause some kind of irritation and in the lining of the esophagus. So it's like eczema on the skin, but it allows the allergen to get in when they're digesting it. So so it's very, it's a little over my head too, but it's that's the gist of it. So it is an allergy condition, but it's not an anaphylactic allergy.
Yeah. Wow. That's very complicated to kind of understand too. And also, do your children actually understand that they actually have like allergies and EoE? Do they kind of know that?
No, my one-year-old definitely does not. He has no idea. We just don't let him eat certain things. Yeah. We're trying to start teaching my three-year-old a little bit about it so that she can better understand, like if she's not with us. But she's not quite ready to completely understand it, but she knows like I don't eat dairy. But then there's some confusion because she does get like oat milk at home. And so we're trying to explain to her the difference.
Yeah. And I'm sure I've never actually spoken about this in my podcast, but I'm sure that I've never spoken about how you have to tell your children that you have an allergy and kind of how to advocate for yourself, right? Like when you're kind of getting older and you're actually in school, you actually have to speak up like, oh, I have a dairy allergy. So do you like tell her any of that stuff? Like when she goes to her friend's house, maybe like, oh, don't.
So she's like never without me yet, so luckily. Yeah. But yeah, we're getting ready for that. So it's definitely something we're preparing for. And I've been talking to other moms, which is great to have that community again, about kind of how to do that. And I'm learning that process. You know, when we originally went to put her in daycare, preschool, when she was really small, the scariest thing for us was like, they have these sippy cups like sitting in a little pile, and hers would have, you know, whatever, but if she grabbed the wrong one, then she'd get really, you know, really ill, and it would affect her for quite a while. And that was like a concern for us, and definitely why we were never able to put my son in preschool with a dairy allergy, because it's again one of those things where it's like, well, for him it's not just they grab the wrong cup. But yeah, it's
a lot more than that.
So they have a lot to learn, but hopefully, you know, they're dealing with a little bit less by the time we get there. That's the goal.
Yeah. That's the goal for advocating. And I'm sure like, that's why you have that, you know, that your Instagram is amazing for like the cook, you know, the foods and all that stuff. It looks so appealing. Honestly, I like get hungry.
It's hard to get them to eat what we need to get them to eat. So I find, especially with my three-year-old, the cuter it is, the more likely she is to eat it.
Yeah, I know. It looks so pretty. All the foods.
Thank you.
Everybody probably wants to eat it. It's even harder to manage it in school, you know, when you're going to school and kind of feeling like an outsider and all of that stuff. And it's our goal to advocate, you know, to tell people that it's going to be okay. You know, we have to actually share these stories, and we have to help people by sharing what we know and our knowledge and our tips and our advice. And that's why you probably have that Instagram. This is why I have my podcast. And that's the goal, to basically help other generations and not be so bad. Like in our previous generations, people didn't have that many allergies, you know, and not a lot of people had allergies back then.
I hope they figure out what the root cause is. You know, I have my, you know, I think we all have our theories about kind of like what the cause is. And I've heard the same kind of things from you. Like there's like that hygiene hypothesis, and there's all these different things, and like the microbiome and all these things that they're saying are potential causes. And, you know, I think from the people I've talked to, it's scary. I've talked to a lot of moms who've been through C-sections or been on antibiotics at the time of delivery. And there's all these things that you hear, they're like, as a lawyer, we call it, you know, circumstantial evidence, but not necessarily indicative of a cause. But you hear it. I hope they figure it out, because I think that's the way they're going to reduce the number of people getting allergies. But there's definitely some trend.
we don't really know a certain cause, you know, we don't really know a certain root, which is also what makes it like, I don't think people like uncertainty, especially like in this COVID kind of area. We don't like uncertainty. So we don't know when everything's going to get back to normal. We don't know if we're even going to have a cure of allergies, but I feel like that hope is going to make us be at peace. And kind of being at hope, I always like to be a little bit more positive because there's so much negativity in the world. And I just like to focus on the positive things. And so do you have any like new advancements you can share to the parents who are listening to give them some sense of hope?
Yeah, I mean, for me, it's like the earlier that you start, it's the more hope you're going to have. And, you know, I feel like we have that hope because we were lucky enough to start and realize that there was allergies really early. I think you're at a disadvantage when you start and you realize, oh my gosh, they're already 5 or 6 years old. Not that, you know, there's no hope. There's still hope at every age. I think that the child can outgrow it, that there's things that can be done. There's treatments. There's a lot of new treatments coming and things like that. But I think the earlier you find out that the more hope there is, you know, for us, it was, I wish we found out even sooner. Like pediatricians are not really educated on treating eczema and things like that. And I'm a firm believer that that's like one of the main things that needs to be done in the beginning is, the treatment of eczema. We went to the doctor, you know, over and over and over about my son's eczema. And, you know, finally he's like, well, if you really want a steroid or something to put on it, you know, here you go. But it kind of like scared us. Oh, a steroid. I don't want to put steroid on his face. That's, you know, that sounds really scary. Looking back, you know, hindsight is 20/20, but I wish that was somebody had told me, you have to put this on there, do it. And maybe it wouldn't have helped. Maybe it would have, but, you know, I think that there needs to be more education with the pediatrician's offices and not just allergists.
Yeah, education for everything, honestly. Yeah. Even like school systems, you know, when your children go to like middle school and high school, mm-hmm. My belief is I think that everyone should be able to do an EpiPen on somebody and actually give one.
Train it like CPR.
Everybody
goes through like CPR training. Well, not everybody, but a lot of people for a lot of different things. And it should be almost like part of that training.
Yeah, seriously. I think that's super, super necessary because you never know, accidents going to happen. So I really want to ask you if you have any other stories you can share, because I know that stories are something that a lot of people really benefit from when they hear it. So any stories?
Sure. I mean, most of my stories kind of revolve around things that we've tried to help my son versus, you know, an older child. But one of the most powerful stories is, when my son was diagnosed with a peanut allergy, we were told, forget it, don't challenge it. He's allergic. And I wasn't, you know, I knew he was allergic. He had had a reaction from eating Bombas and that kind of thing. But we wanted to know if he could tolerate boiled peanuts. So, I had read all this literature on how boiled peanuts have a less allergenicity than, roasted peanuts, such as peanut butter. And I thought, oh, if we give him this boiled peanuts and he can eat even just like a tiny little bit of this boiled peanut every day, that maybe one day he can eat, you know, peanut butter. They wouldn't let us challenge it. Nobody wanted to even talk about it. They tried to explain to me why that wasn't like there, it wasn't really possible, even though it's not evidence-based and all this stuff. So I took it upon myself to try and go challenge it. Anyway, we went to an allergist. We went in, he said, no, the skin prick is too severe. We're not going to challenge this boiled peanut. So we went to a children's hospital and we said, we want to challenge boiled peanut butter. And they said, no, absolutely not. You can challenge peanut butter, but we know he's probably going to fail it, but you're at a hospital, so it's fine. And that kind of scared us too. But we decided we were going to come in, we were going to bring our boiled peanut butter that we made and challenge boiled peanuts and just say it was peanut butter. We went in and they asked us, you know, are you bringing in boiled peanuts? Like, you know, I mean, they weren't stupid. And we said, yes. And they said, fine, you know what, challenge whatever you want. And if he passes it, he needs to come back and challenge peanut butter. So anyway, long story short, he has this boiled peanut butter. He immediately gets a couple hives. And they said, you know what, it's only a couple hives. I guess that's like the standard at the children's hospital. He can keep trying it. So they have another dose and actually the hives subsided and he was able to get through the boiled peanut butter challenge. And for us, this was like, amazing. We were so excited. Nobody thought this was going to happen. Even his skin prick to boiled peanut was massive. It was like a satellite reaction where it started spreading all over his back. But he ate it. And every day we gave him this boiled peanut butter, starting when he was like 8 months old, maybe 9 months old. And we gave him like, you know, this tiny little bit. And the next day it was a little bit more and a little bit more. And now he eats like a tablespoon of boiled peanut butter. And he can eat more. He's had more than that. He can just like free eat boiled peanut butter. And I think we're convinced that like he probably can eat regular peanuts now, but we don't know for sure. So that's something up the road for us to challenge and figure out if it's something that he can have. We were originally going to go challenge it, and then COVID happened and they stopped all the allergy testing. Mm-hmm. But you know, so that for us is like a positive. Like, you know, if you believe something, you read something, my opinion is, you know,
yeah, kudos to you.
If somebody's unfamiliar with whatever it is, you should still kind of fight for it as a mom and mom's intuition. And
yeah,
I'm hoping that it was successful. We don't know. I mean, he could still have an allergic reaction to peanut butter, but
yeah, but that's a very inspiring story. Yeah. I mean, you kind of went for what you believed in, and I feel like that worked out in your favor as well. You know, it's not like it didn't work out, you know, it's like the sensitivity. Is that what it is? It's like, I'm trying to figure out like how it works really. Like, so it's
so
like,
I guess I don't know. Like, I'm not, you know, a scientist. I won't get into the specifics, but my understanding is that the method of preparation with the peanut, certain components of the peanut bind differently in different preparations. So when we looked at his component testing, so the specific components that he was allergic to of the peanut, what I had read from studies, scientific studies, was that particular component would be less allergic because of the binding properties of those components in boiled peanut. So for somebody else who potentially has a peanut allergy to a different component, it may not work at all. It could be more allergic. You know, again, you know, the lawyer in me asked your doctor if you're interested in this. Don't just, you know, go out and do it at home or whatever.
Yeah,
but it's definitely something possible for different situations where it's a way to get kind of peanut introduced to a young kid without worrying as much about the repercussions. Even if there is an allergic reaction, because it's less allergic, potentially the allergic reaction would be less severe. So that was kind of our theory for doing it. We thought he was going to have a horrible allergic reaction to it, and we thought that at least maybe this would maybe not need an EpiPen this way or something.
Yeah, that's such a positive thing though that you shared. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's kind of like it reminds me of immunotherapy and kind of just...
It sort of is. So I have since learned that they're actually doing immunotherapy trials with boiled peanuts versus raw peanut, and they think that may help in the future with some kids. So if there is some, it is something maybe potentially that we'll see more of in the future.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's great. So let's just take a little intermission now. I usually do this segment. It's called Fast Five Questions, and it's kind of like Ellen's Burning Questions or 73 Questions on Vogue. So I'm going to be asking you five questions, and you're going to answer as fast as you can. Are you ready?
Absolutely.
Okay. Favorite allergy-free products? Go.
We eat Made Good bars in our house all the time. My kids love those, from the Rice Krispie treats to the bars. We have the Enjoy Life chocolate chips we use for potty training. So those have been really great. A lot of the other products we use aren't probably like allergy-free. They're like are allergy-free. So I don't know if they're... Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. What's one word to describe your children's food allergies?
That's a hard one. One word to describe them.
Or a sentence.
Problematic.
Problematic. Yes, that's perfect. What's your go-to emergency kit consist of?
Well, we have medications. I have my oximeter, which is in there. We have our OBIQ or EpiPen, whatever, you know, we're carrying with us. But it also has like Band-Aids and, you know, Neosporin and all that.
Yeah. Stuff. All that good stuff. Okay. Instead of a cake at a birthday party that they're allergic to, what are some like go-to like treats and desserts you can give them and replace them?
So we just bring other things with us. So I just bring some of the same kind of allergy friendly brands, like of cookies or something like that. For their birthdays, I'll make them something.
Yes, of course, yeah. With your delicious food that
I see. Also, do like I can. Luckily, my kids really like new toys, so also it's a good distraction. So, if you don't eat that, you can have this instead.
Yeah. Awesome, yeah. Awesome. So, how do you come across clearly to a waiter or waitress?
That's hard. We don't eat out a ton, and our biggest concern are allergens that are kind of outside the top eight. So we usually don't let my son eat at a restaurant unless we know it doesn't have the allergen in it. Just because it's too hard at this point.
Yeah, it makes sense. Awesome. That was the five questions. You did great. So now I want to kind of move into a little bit of like the deep stuff about parenting, you know, like something that people are like not very, you know, like to talk about as often, but I think it's very necessary to speak about it. So do you feel any regret, you know, let's just jump right into, do you feel any regret kind of being a parent with a child who has food allergies or having an allergic reaction? Do you feel some sort of regret?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's all these things that I know it's not my fault, but at the same time, you can't help but blame yourself. I think about like after I had my son, he had, like I said, that horrible eczema on his face, and I'm eating cause I'm in bed after a C-section. And I'm eating in bed like these bars, and the ingredients were like peanuts, almonds, whey protein. And like, that's what I lived on. And I'm thinking about how I touch those, and I'm like wiping it on his face or whatever, I'm kissing him all the time. And, you beat yourself up over things like that, because it's like, is that like, did I, sensitize him to these foods? Cause he's literally allergic to all these things that I was eating every day and not the things that I wasn't.
Yeah, of course. I mean, I feel like every parent that I speak to, even my own parents, like they feel that way, exactly that way, kind of the regret. And I just want to share this really quick story. There's this infamous Italy trip, that story that I share on every single one of my podcasts. And it's basically my sister had two allergic reactions in Italy. My mother and my younger brother were at home in New Jersey, and we were all in Italy. And so my father and my sister were there, and my sister had two allergic reactions, EpiPens, crazy story, shared in my other podcasts. But basically what I say is that after that story, after we came home, after that trip, my dad wrote letters to my sister, like regret letters. He never shared it to us. He never showed it to us at all. But he kind of told us, when we got older, he told us that he wrote these letters, and he kind of feeling so regretful towards, what he did, and like being alone because he was the only parent there. And he just felt so bad, because obviously it wasn't his fault. It was just cross-contamination, things he couldn't really handle and help, but he did feel that way. So it's like really nice to hear that, people are dealing, you're not alone in it. A lot of people are also feeling regret in this situation. So that's what I really want to share.
I think it's hard not to have those feelings. And I did hear that story in one of your podcasts, and it's like, I can't even imagine being in that situation. And it's hard not to blame yourself for those things, but like, you want to tell, people, especially I've told friends, like, don't feel bad about it. There's no way you could have known better. And you don't even know that was what caused it or whatever, depending on the situation. But yeah, it's hard not to. You can say something, but you still feel that way.
It is, I just want to I kind of try to reassure, both my parents, it's okay. And they are so helpful with their allergies. Like, they're just like, you got the EpiPen every time we leave the house. And it's just really, really helpful and feels really great. So, when I go to college, I don't know what I'm going to do, but I'll try to figure it out and maneuver my way through. But yeah, so I want to kind of move to the peace side of it. Now we're kind of going to the end of the podcast. So I kind of move to the peace side of things. So what are some tips you can share to parents with food who have children with food allergies?
So that's probably the one that's the hardest part for me. Cause it's all that's where I'm at in my process, is learning kind of, how to make things less stressful, going forward. So we're getting ready to start school with the kids and that kind of thing. And I'm learning so much from talking to other moms about kind of how to prepare ourselves. But, I think just surrounding yourself with people who understand, and it's hard, but if people can't understand, it's almost like you have to not be in those situations, I think, because it's just, you're not going to, it's hard even with grandparents sometimes and things like that. If they're not willing to make the effort, it's just almost, for us anyway, not worth the, to reciprocate.
Yeah, I mean, I go to my friend's house, I go to my family's house, and it's just, they're very good with allergies. Sometimes some friends are just like, no, they don't really know much about it. You know, they're not really educated on it. So I'm like, I have to ask them, like, oh, just nuts. And they're just like, oh, you'll be fine. And I'm like, I will not. So can you just share me what kind of foods, you know, what the ingredients are and everything like that. So I feel like people have to be educated more on it. Can't really blame them. You know what I mean?
As long as they're willing to listen, I think that's the big thing.
And then yeah, that's really important. Yeah. And like, if they don't, then just like, they're not, you know, that shows a lot about their character and who they are as a person. So you don't want to be friends with them if they're not like that at all. And I've heard so many bullying stories in high school and everything. And I hope that stops.
Those are so scary. Yes.
They are so scary and it's insane. What are some questions that parents should be asking allergists or, you know, new parents that they really don't ask? So if a child is allergic, what's the first thing that parents should do?
Well, I would want to know, like, if I was going back in time, my questions would be, how do I treat the eczema? What should I do? Should I start a probiotic? Those are things kind of for me. When can I start introducing allergens? So I would like almost go back and get those powders that they sell and like stick them in the baby bottles, because you can't really introduce foods till they're sitting up. And my son couldn't eat till he was like 6 months old sitting up. So like, I want like 2 or 3 months old. Can I start like putting this in the baby bottle or whatever? Like, those are questions I'd have for my allergist if we have another child. Mm-hmm. Things like that. That's kind of what I'd want to know. And
yeah, that makes sense. So what is one way to reduce anxiety and stress, you know, being in this world right now and all these allergies? What is one way you can do that?
I think is to avoid the whatever it is that you, you know, if going to a restaurant gives you anxiety, then don't force yourself into situations that give you anxiety. For us, it's going to parties that revolve around food. That gives us anxiety, a lot of anxiety, even with family and stuff, that they try to understand and they're really great about it. We're very fortunate to have family that tries to understand. But we basically say, if you're having a party that doesn't revolve around food, we're there. You know, but if the centerpiece is food, then we feel really uncomfortable, you know, Thanksgiving dinner or something like that. Yeah. And we're probably not going to attend.
Yeah. So. You eat to live, not live to eat. You know, I kind of go over that because I know it must be difficult for a lot of people to not eat the food that everybody else is eating, you know, at a party. I went to, you know, my family's house yesterday, actually last night, and we're having a little birthday celebration because my birthday is like next week. So we're doing a little thing like that. Oh, thank you. And so we're just doing a little fun little thing and they had food there. And one of the foods actually was chicken and had cashews in it. Right. So we had to ask them and they're very, you know, they were like, okay, nothing has nuts in it. This is all really great. So it's also very comforting, you know, like people who are listening and they do not have allergies. You know, if you have allergy people, you know, then really ask them if, you know, just say, ask them what kind of allergies you have. And then when they come over your house, make sure there's nothing there. And it's just very comforting to feel, you know, when you have allergies and people are actually looking out for you. So, yeah. And so I do this little last segment to wrap everything up. It's called Words of Wisdom. And so it's basically shares like a little takeaway of this episode and what you'd like to share to the audience. So what's a little something you would share to the listeners?
I guess my two biggest takeaways from all this are trust your intuition. As a mom, you know, if you feel like something's not right, go with what your gut says. And my second thing is to definitely lean on people around you that have been through it before. I think that when you have a kid with food allergies, you're really thrown into this world and you have to learn a lot. And I think people who've been through it before have that knowledge and can help you get started. And it's really, really important to just lean on people who care, people who want to learn more, and the people who already do.
Awesome. Thank you so much. You are so full of wisdom. So thank you very much for that. And it's going to help so many parents. So thank you so much. And thank you all for listening to Less Panic, More Peace, new episodes every week. I hope you learned something and stay safe. Peace out.